بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect His Muslim followers from whatever He feared for them. We have been talking about the state of Al-Abbasiyin, or the Abbasid state. And we said after the end of the Umayyads dynasty, then people from the descendants of Abdullah ibn al-Abbas radiyallahu anhuma came up and took over. And such a state or dynasty of Al-Abbasiyun or the Abbasids started in the year 131 Hijri. And the first of these rulers of those Abbasid was Abu Abdullah al-Saffah. So this man is from the descendants of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he was the first Abbasid ruler. He ruled from 131 to 136. He died at the end of the year 136. Then his brother Abu Ja'far al-Mansur became the ruler after him. He was given the allegiance or bay'ah at the beginning of the year 137. And he ruled, as we mentioned, until the year 158 Hijri. And then we talked about few people who died during the reign or the rulership of Abu Ja'far. Today, inshallah, we want to continue to mention few other people, great people who lived during that era and died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far the Abbasid. A person who died in the year 138, which means 1 year in the rulership of Abu Ja'far, was a man, you have heard his name more than once during the Dawrah, when Shaykh Samir was narrating hadith, and his name is Suhail ibn Abi Salih. Suhail ibn Abi Salih. He was a great tabi'i, or, you know, tabi'i, follower of the followers. He was a muhaddith, a great muhaddith. He narrated from different people, especially his father, Abu Salih, Dhakwan al-Samman. And this Abu Salih, the father, was a freed slave of Ummul Mu'mineen Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. He was one of the great scholars of Al-Madinah. He used to trade in olive oil and ghee, brings it to Al-Kufa in Iraq. This father, Abu Salih, was born during the Caliphate of Umar radiyallahu anha. He witnessed the surrounding the siege placed on Uthman radiyallahu anhu. He heard from many companions, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he heard from Abu Huraira ibn Abbas, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abdullah ibn Umar, Lady Aisha, and many other companions of the Prophet. And he stuck to Abu Huraira, he accompanied Abu Huraira for quite a while. And from Abu Salih, people narrated, like his son Suhail al-A'mash, person we're going to talk about soon, Abdullah ibn Dinar, another great narrator of the hadith of the Prophet, Az-Zuhri, great scholar of hadith, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, all of these are great narrators of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, plus other people. And so this Abu Salih was one of the top tabi'in, followers of the companions. Al-Imam Ahmad said about him, ثِقَةٌ ثِقَةٌ. And these statements that the scholars of hadith mention to credit or discredit a person. Some of them are at the ones for credit, they have different levels. And they're also the discredit, they have different levels. So when Ahmad says, this man, Abu Salih, is thiqatun thiqa, trustworthy, trustworthy, this one, this phrase is one of the top phrases for crediting, for showing the highness of this person. He said, thiqatun thiqa min ajallin nasi wa awthaqihim. He said, he is trustworthy, he is trustworthy. He is among the most respected people and the most trusted people. Meaning in the narration of the Prophet's hadith and being pious. Al-A'mash, we're going to talk about him later inshallah soon. He said, I heard from Abu Salih as-Samman 1,000 hadith. He said, I heard from him 1,000 hadith. And as we said that he is reliable in narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Abu Salih died in the year 101. And remember who died in the year 101? This is during the rulership of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu. So he was, this Abu Salih, the father was alive during the rulership of Umar. Suhail, the one who died during Abu Ja'far, is the son of this Abu Salih. He narrated from his father many, many times, many hadith. He narrated from Muhammad ibn Munkadir, one of the great mujtahids among the tabi'een. He narrated from Abdullah ibn Dinar, from Ibn Shihab, and so on. And he is considered, you know, one of those tabi'een. The tabi'een you have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions to the time when the books of hadith like Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Nasa'i. So there were about 250 years that passed until that time. So the scholars of hadith, they categorize peoples in layers. They say this is the first layer, second layer, third layer. So the first one would be the closest to the Sahaba and to the Prophet. So these are not the companions, those are the followers of the companions. So these would be like the highest, like Sa'id ibn Musayyab and the great Tabi'in who are Mujtahid. So what's his name? Suhail would be in the fourth layer among those followers of the companions, radiyallahu anhu. He was among the great scholars of hadith, those who memorized the hadith. However, one time something happened to him. He lost one of his brothers, his own brother. And because of his sadness, it affected him and it affected his memory. So whatever he told after his brother's death was not as reliable as the one, the hadith that he narrated before. So the scholars, some, you know, they differentiate between this. And Muhammad Rabi'atul Ra'i, who is a mujtahid, he's one of the shaykhs of Imam Malik, narrates, for example, from this Suhail, and Suhail narrates from his father, and his father narrates from Abu Hurairah, because we said the father and Abu Hurairah were companions, and then they narrate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man called Abdul Aziz, he said, I narrated a hadith to Suhail. It means, he said, the hadith is from Abdul Aziz to Rabi'a, to Suhail, Abu Salih, Abu Hurairah, then the Prophet. So Abdul Aziz told Suhail that you narrated this hadith to me. Suhail said, I don't remember. Okay? So that's why then they said, فقال, then Suhail, what does he say? أخبرني ربيعة وهو عندي ثقة أني حدثته إياه ولا أحفظه. So out of his honesty, Suhail said, ربيعة told me, and he is a trustworthy person to me. He said that I narrated this hadith to him, and I don't remember it. So this happens in several narrators of hadith. He would say, A said that I narrated this hadith to him, and I'm narrating it from him now, because now he doesn't remember. So that happens, and our scholars of hadith are so meticulous about narrating the hadith of the Prophet, so they either, you know, credit a person or discredit a person depending on his qualifications, and they mention these not out of, you know, personal agendas or vendettas, as they say. They want to be honest to the Muslims. They want to tell them this hadith has been proven to be, perhaps been said by the Prophet. This hasn't been proven to us that it was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why we, the Muslim Ummah, feel trusting of these scholars because of their piety and their meticulous work that they did. So one of the hadith that was mentioned, عن سهيل, عن عبد الله بن دينار, عن أبي صالح, is the father of سهيل, عن أبي هريرة. So قال, so سهيل narrated from عبد الله بن دينار, who narrated from أبو صالح, who narrated from أبو هريرة, that the Prophet said, الإيمان بضع وستون بابا أو بضع وسبعون بابا أفضلها لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. So this narration with the chain that I just mentioned, the Prophet said that Iman, faith, consists of some 60 or some 70 branches. And he said the best, the highest of these branches concerning Iman is La ilaha illallah. And the lowest in these branches is to pick off the harm, pick the harm off the way of the people. Like if you are passing and then you find, let's say, a banana peel, and then it occurs to you that a Muslim may pass and get harmed. So you just pick it off the way of the people to the side, or take it with you so that the Muslims would not be harmed. That's part of being, having faith. That's the lowest in those 60 or 70 some branches of Iman mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet said, wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman. This haya is also a branch of Iman. And al haya, our scholars defined it, I mean, literally it means to be timid or to be shy, okay? But here it refers to a behavior that makes the person avoid the haram, to avoid the indecent things. So this is haya. So it's part of being, of having faith. So it means that when a person has, all Muslims have the minimum, which is they believe in Allah and His Messenger. They have the belief in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then they are different. Some of them are higher than others by the amount of their piety, of doing the obligations, avoiding the sins, and doing other things. So if the more, the higher you want to be, the more pious you need to be. And you need to fulfill those 70 or so, 60 some branches of Iman. The more of them you have, the higher your Iman would be, or stronger would it be. And this hadith is among the hadith that they call Al-Awali, means the Sanad is short, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not many people are between the one who is telling you and the one who, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like in this hadith we just narrated, was Suhail from Abdullah ibn Dinar, from his father, from the father Abu Salih, from Abu Huraira. So you have four people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sanad is short. So this man, as we said, died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far in the year 130 Hijri. Another person from the same layer, if you want, the fourth layer, is a man called Musa ibn Uqbah ibn Abi Ayyash. And this man was from Quraysh, was a great imam, and he was a freed slave of a female companion of the Prophet, known as Ummu Khalid, Bint Khalid al-Umawiyya. She was the wife of Az-Zubayr, radiyallahu anhu. And this man is known among the scholars of Islam to be an expert in the history of the Muslims, in the campaigns of the Prophet, the Ghazawat, the Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he composed, he authored a book, if you want, about this. And he was the first to do that, to have a book specifically for the Seerah, for the Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He caught up with some companions like Abdullah ibn Umar, Jabir radiallahu anhuma. He narrated from this female companion because he was her freed slave, so he learned from her. So look at, I mean, how this is happening. I mean, these people were slaves and they learned from their masters the religion, and they narrated from them the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were set free. So it's not like a master wants to keep his slave ignorant, unskilled, so that you stay under his control. The Muslims believe that if you educate those slaves Islamically, then they become good, you know, members of the society, and they benefit the society. And many of those people we have mentioned to you, they were slaves and freed. And they learned from their masters, like Nafi', from Abdullah ibn Umar, and so on. Subhanallah. Totally different perspective. So he is among these, we said, the At-Tabi'in from the fourth layer. He narrated from many, like Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, Nafi', and other great scholars like Az-Zuhri, Abdullah ibn Dinar, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. You hear these people, when you study the hadith, you see their names or you hear their names in this chain of narration of many hadith. When Malik, radiallahu anhu, the great Imam of Al-Madinah, would be asked about the seerah of the Prophet, the campaigns, Al-Maghazi, the campaigns of the Prophet, then he said, عَلَيْكَ بِمَغَازِ الرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ مُوسَى بْنِ عُقْبَةِ فَإِنَّهَا أَصَحُّ الْمَغَازِ. So he would say, one day he's asked about the campaigns of the Prophet, the battles that the Prophet, you know, fought, and his seerah, Malik, when he's asked that question, he says, go use Musa ibn Uqba's book. His is the most trustworthy, the most valid. And he says, he refers to him as the righteous man, Musa ibn Uqba. So this is a great testimony from this great imam for Musa. Yahya ibn Ma'in is one of the scholars who credit and discredit narrators of the hadith. He said that the book of Musa ibn Uqba from Az-Zuhri, means his narration through Az-Zuhri, one of the great scholars of hadith, is among the most correct books, the most sahih books of Maghazi. And there were three people, brothers, Ibrahim, Musa, and Muhammad. Each one of them had a circle of knowledge in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them were fuqaha, scholars of fiqh, scholars of hadith, and Musa used to pass fatwa to the people. And one of the things, Musa, for example, he narrated from this Khalid, the female companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يتعود من عذاب القبر. So one of the hadith about the Prophet narrated by Al-Bukhari and Al-Nasa'i, it is through this man called Musa. So Musa ibn Uqba narrated from a companion, female companion, Khalid, the wife of Az-Zubayr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah to protect him from the torture in the grave. And of course, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam knew that he would not be tortured in the grave, because even the followers, the pious followers of the Prophet, he said, would not be tortured in the grave. They would enjoy the grave. Of course, naturally, the Prophet himself, the master of the pious people, would not be tortured in the grave. So why would the Prophet say, Allahumma inni a'udu bika min adab al-qabr? Why would the Prophet say, oh Allah, I ask refuge with you from the torture of the grave? To teach his ummah, to teach his followers to say that. And not to say it just to say it, because when I say that, then I remember, oh, there is a torture in the grave. So who will be tortured in the grave? Oh, those who are disobedient to Allah. So I don't want to be one of them. So then I work hard to avoid anything that leads to that torture. So there is a benefit for his ummah. He's teaching them how to avoid the torture of the grave. And one of the ways to remind them is to say that dua now and then. For example, there is such a dua at the end of the as-salah. Before you say assalamu alaykum and end your salah, there are many dua reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them has this, Allahumma inni a'udu bika min adhab al-qabr, and so on. Musa ibn Uqba, this man, died in the year 141 Hijri. 141. Remember Abu Ja'far from 137 to 158. So Musa died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. Now, the man that we mentioned, so we said soon we're going to talk about, is Al-A'mash. Al-A'mash is a man who died also during the rulership of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. He died in the year 148, means 10 years before Abu Ja'far himself died. And his name is Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Sulaiman ibn Mihran. And he is one of those very, very top scholars of hadith and recitation of Al-Quran. He is one of those people who had very good memory and very good understanding. The reason they call him Al-A'mash, A'mash means a person whose vision is weak, and then there are always tears coming out because of his condition. So they call him bleary, the person with bleary eyes. So that's what Al-A'mash means. He originally came from Ar-Ri, and then some people say, no, his mother, you know, gave birth to him in some area in Persia. But they say he was born on the same day that Sayyidina al-Husayn radiallahu anhu was killed in Karbala in Iraq. You know, in the year 61, there was a massacre in which al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma was killed along with many of his relatives, his children and his relatives. So the day we call Ashura, so the 10th of Muharram in the year 61 Hijri. So this man, Al-A'mash, was born on the same day such a massacre took place. And then they brought him to Al-Kufa while he was a baby. He saw some of the companions. One of them is Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, normally, naturally, he narrated from him hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He met many followers of the companion, like Sa'id ibn Jubayr. He met Abu Salih, that we mentioned. He said, I narrated from him 1,000 hadith. So he narrated from him. He met with Zir ibn Hubaysh. Zir ibn Hubaysh is one of the people who learned the Quran from the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Ali. He met with Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, one of the Mujtahids. Kumayl ibn Ziyad, he is the companion of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He met with Ash-Sha'bi, we mentioned, talked about him before. And many, many great tabi'een. From him narrated, means hadith and Quran, okay, means they learned from him. Asim ibn Abi Najud. Asim, you hear people, they say, we're reciting this Quran by the narration of Hafs an Asim. So Asim is the teacher of Hafs. So Asim himself narrated from Al-A'mash radiallahu anhuma. And also he narrated from Suhail, the son of Abu Salih. He narrated from Abu Hanifa al-Awza'i and Shu'bah, Sufyan, both Sufyans, and many, many people. He recited Al-Quran. When we say recited Al-Quran, means he recited it under the supervision of, so he is narrating it from this person, the Shaykh. His name is Yahya ibn Wathab, and he was not the top reciter of Al-Quran in Iraq. When I say here reciter, muqri or qari, muqri, it doesn't mean that a person who will just sit somewhere and records, you know, recitation of the Quran, just like you hear on, like on recordings or you see YouTube clips. We're talking about scholars of Quran. They memorized the Quran in different recitation. They understood those verses. They know, you know, the rules of the Quran. So they took it from one sheikh to another, back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-A'mash recited the Quran under this man called Yahya ibn Wathab, and he was known the top reciter of Iraq at his time. And then Abu Nu'aym, one of the great scholars of Hadith, you have heard his name many times, he said, I heard Al-A'mash say, these people used to recite to Yahya ibn Wathab, recite under him, recite to him, learning the recitation from Yahya. When he died, they surrounded me, they came to me. So he's just mentioning that because of his great knowledge from Yahya, people said, okay, who's next after Yahya now is Al-A'mash himself. And from him, from Al-A'mash, read Hamza al-Zayyad, one of the 10 reciters of Al-Quran in Al-Kufa. Zaid ibn Qudama is one of them. Al-Kisa'i, who is one of the 10 or 7, if you want, reciters of Al-Quran, read from Zaid, who read from Al-A'mash. So you have all this narration, this chain of reciting Al-Quran through this A'mash, who was a fiqh, who was a confirmed, trustworthy person. He was the muhaddith of Al-Kufa during his time, this A'mash. People have narrated about 4,000 hadith from the way of Al-A'mash, and he did not have a book. He did not write them down. He just relied on his memory. And Al-A'mash said, I learned from Abu Salih 1,000 hadith. And as we said, he used to teach Al-Quran. He is the top reciting Al-Quran. He was eloquent. And he did not in any way make any mistakes in reciting Al-Quran. He was knowledgeable in the inheritance. There are many things that we can talk about. Mujahid used to say, Mujahid, remember the student of Ibn Abbas, used to say, if I could walk, I would come to you, to Al-A'mash. He said, if I could walk, I would come to you. And we know Mujahid is the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he's saying this about Al-A'mash. Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, one of the teachers of al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, said Al-A'mash was about 70 years old, and he never missed the first takbirah with the imam. He never missed the first Allahu Akbar with the imam for 70 years. He was 70 years old and still would come to Al-Jama'ah on time and not miss Takbiratul Ihram with the Imam of As-Salah. He was a nasik, means a hermit. He was a worshipful. He observed Salah in Jama'ah in the first line. And he is Allamatul Islam, that he was one of the great scholars of Islam. Yahya, the one who is narrating this, used to, like when you go to the masjid, he has to find his way. He would just like walk next to the wall so that he would know because of his vision. And he would do this to go to the masjid so that he would not miss the first line. Because his Shaykh Al-A'mash used to do that. He would not miss any of the Jama'ah prayers. One time, a man who is a ruler, official, his name is Isa ibn Musa, he sent to Al-A'mash 1,000 silver dirhams. And he sent with these 1,000 dirhams a parchment, something to write on or in. And he asked that Al-A'mash write something, a hadith for him, because he narrates thousands of hadith. So this A'mash said, he wrote in it, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, And he wrote, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, the surah. He's narrator of Al-Quran too. So then he sent it back to Isa, the one who sent the money with that parchment. So the ruler was upset, and he called him son of bitch, you know. He said, يَبْنَ الْفَاعِلَ. He said, you think I don't memorize the Quran? I want you to write me a hadith. So Al-A'mash responded to him. He said, well, I'm selling hadith now. You think I'm just selling hadith? Means he sent me 1,000 dirham to narrate hadith for you. I'm selling it now. So that was one his way of, you know, telling the person, don't do it again. Don't send money. It's for hadith. Because our scholars did not do it for money. They did it to disseminate this religion, because Muslims follow the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And both of them are by revelation. So that's why they are our reference for the rules. Whether these rules are rules of salah, rules of hadith, of zakah, siyam, rules of halal and haram, rules of marriage and divorce. So we rely on Al-Quran and we rely on the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's known that Al-Quran has been narrated by tawatur, means by large of number of people, and then from another large number of people, from another large number of people. All of these group of people in different layers, all of them could not have lied about it. And it has been preserved for more than now 1400 years. It hasn't been even one letter or one vowel changed. Although some people try to do that, alhamdulillah, it has been preserved. As Allah promised in Al-Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That Allah is the one who sent Al-Quran down on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will be preserving it. It will not be changed. People may change the way they recite it, but Al-Quran is preserved. So Al-Quran is known, who perverts things about it is known, because we have the Quran itself. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not recorded like Al-Quran was recorded early in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some companions wrote some hadith, but the official recording of the hadith started around the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and of course, it went through a process of filtering and qualifications to accept the hadith of the Prophet. So the strength of the hadith come, there are strong hadith and weak hadith and fabricated hadith. And then you have different levels of strength and different levels of weakness and different levels of fabrication. The fabrication is not acceptable at all. Fabrication means it hasn't been proven at all that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. So these are rejected. We do not use them in any way whatsoever, not for any purpose. We say these are lied, fabricated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we are left with the sahih, the strong, and the weak. And the strong means the hadith that can be used to judge whether something is halal or haram, or, you know, fard or sunnah, and so on. Thus, you have al-mutawatir, the highest level of authenticity, and then you have sahih, and then you have hasan, and the sahih is of different kinds, the hasan of different kinds. So, but all of these are strong hadith. Al-Quran is mutawatir, and there are several hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which are also at the same level of mutawatir. A person who knows what mutawatir is then cannot reject such an account from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the weak, who have different, you know, levels of weakness. Some can be used in encouraging people to do, for example, good deeds. If there's a hadith which says, if you read the surah on this night, then you get that. So, because it's weak, it can be used to encourage people to obey Allah. But it would not be used to infer any judgment, any fatwa. And there are different levels. There are levels of da'if that cannot be, would not be narrated. It's not acceptable to narrate them. Inshallah, we will continue next time to mention more of the great people who died during the rulership of Abu Ja'far and al-Mansur, who ruled from 137 to 158 Hijri. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم